Today's daf is Erevin daf Samach Gimel. Today's daf is pretty much entirely until the very, very end about the concept of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba, which we began to discuss the sugi yesterday. So first we're going to discuss the Yisr for a Talmud to Paskan Halacha in front of his Rebbe, particularly with regard to checking for Nixon, a Shechita knife, and the Gemara is going to explore some potential exceptions to that Yisr. Then we're going to go into some more details about the Yisr to Paskan in front of a Rebbe, including whether it applies to a Talmud Chaver. We'll have to see what a Talmud Chaver is, how far away the Talmud has to be, and how severe an Yisr it is to Paskan in front of Rebbe, and some of the consequences of violating the Yisr being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. And on Amud Beis, we can get to the conversation that happens between Yehoshua and a Malach on the night of the siege of Jericho, and what we learn from that conversation, perhaps something about Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo, perhaps about Bittul Torah in general, and we'll get to that as well. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to go back to Erevin. We're going to go back to the discussion of a guy who lives in a chatzer and refuses to be socher reshus, and we're going to start coming up with solutions leading into tomorrow's daf about what to do about that situation, how we can ever be matir carrying in a chatzer when the guy refuses to be socher reshus. So we started discussing yesterday this halach of mora halach bifnei rabbo. We already got to the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and the context that we got to it, that we started to discuss this, was that we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. We had a machlokas from Meir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Gemara wanted to say that even though Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is kav vinaki, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov wherever he is. So the Gemara raised the question: so what if you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in front of your Rebbe? Is that a violation of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo? So the Tosos points out in Dibur Maskel Mahu, Mahu La Rui B'Makum Rabbo, Omer Ri, Kolhani Oroz, Kegon Shabba Maisa Lefanov Umora Lassos Kein. Avul M'sholun and the Talmud Halacha Kedivrei Mi, Yachal Omer Kol Masha B'Daito, B'Vad Shlo Yora Al Maisa Shabba. Tosos points out a very critical distinction between paskening Halacha L'Maisa on a Shaila that's asked Halacha L'Maisa versus giving a Halacha Shir, saying what you think the halacha should be on a theoretical level, but not when it's actually practical. When do we say there's an issur being mora halacha b'fnei rabbo? That's only if there is a shaila that is asked of a person, and a person gives an answer halacha l'maisa. But stam to say what the halacha is b'derech limud is going to be mutter. The Karban Nisanel and Simon Beis on the bottom of the Rush says that we learn this out from Zakin Mamre as well in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Vav and Beis, that if Zakin Mamre just teaches a sugyo, he gives a halacha shir against what the psak of the Sanhedrin is, so he's not chayv for being a zakin mamri. But if he's answering halacha lemaisa, then he's a zakin mamri. The Gra, however, in Yerodeh Simon Reish Ben Beis of Kod Yudches, proves it from the fact that just a more basic fact that Amoraim all over Shas argue in halacha on their rebbeim. They're arguing in halacha, but below lemaisa, meaning when the shaila is actually asked, they would not be permitted to argue on their rebbeim. So the Gemara gave the example of filu be'asu b'kudcha, not to be mora. Rashi writes, what's the yisr? What's the problem being mora halacha? So Rashi in Dibur Maskel Mahu says that it's a chutzpah to be mora halacha b'fnei rabba. The Gemara Maseches Ksubas Nav Samach and Beis says beferish that the yisr is lo mishum de mechzi ka'afkirusa, elimishum de lo mistaye milsa lememra. The Gemara Ksubas sounds directly against Rashi. The Gemara says it's not because mechzi ka'afkirusa, which is roughly translated as chutzpah, not because of chutzpah, rather that it's not going to, you're not going to paskin correctly if you're being mora halacha b'fnei rabbo. So it sounds like it's not about kavod harav. So the Tosfos Rid over there explains that the issur to be mora halacha b'fnei rabbo is, it's not because mechzi kafkirusa bilvad. That's not the only reason. That's also an issue, certainly, that a person is a mechutzav to paskin against his rabbi, but also because he's not going to have the siyata d'shmaya that's necessary in issuing a psak. There is a certain level of siyata d'shmaya that's necessary in issuing a psak. So the Gemara gave the example, what about the Megillas Tainis? A person paskins a halacha in Megillas Tainis. So, kigon Megillas Tainis t'ksiva, umancha, mal ruye ba'asur d'rabbe. The Gemara had raised the question. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Mem Beis, Siv Tes, and it's based on the Maram and the Agos Maimonios, that it's paskins that it's mutter to be more b'fnei Rabbo, b'makom Rabbo rather, with a din akosuv b'svarim, with a din that's explicit in a book somewhere, and it's only aser when you're being mechadish ahora'a. This is the general concept of the difference between being mora halacha versus mara makom hulo. Someone says, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? And I know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, so I just tell them what it says in Shulchan Aruch. To be mora halacha means you medama milsa la milsa, you make some sort of analysis. There's something that I'm contributing. I'm not just saying, oh yeah, go look right there. It says it right there in Shulchan Aruch, exactly what you're supposed to do. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Achronim just raised the question that what do you mean? It says in our Gemara explicitly that Megillas Tainis is also haros makom rabo. Even though Megillas Tainis is beferish, it's written, it's a book, it's written down. So the Drisha says that Rav Yosef says that it's also to be mora b'Megillas Tainis is only when you're mora b'fnei rabo mamish. And the Shulchan Aruch is talking about when you're mora shalo b'fanav, when you're mora halacha, but you're at some distance from him. And we're going to see that the distance makes a difference. How far away you are from the Rebbe at the time makes a difference. That's how the Drisha deals with the question. The Shach says a little different. The Shach says that the suffix of Rav Yaakov Bar Abba was if it's mutter lahoros halacha in Megillas Tainis in a way that's medame davar l'davar, that somehow you're going to pass in Megillas Tainis even with not straight out of the book, but with some sort of analysis. And that's what Abaye says is also the Grudge just points out that that's very difficult to understand. It's very difficult to accept that that's what it means to pass in out of Megillas Tainis when the Gemara talks about Megillas Tainis. That's ksuvo mancha, that's already written and sitting there and it's just there for the taking. That means you're medama milsa l'milsa. Doesn't sound that way, says the Gra. Very hard to understand that shach. But one fascinating discussion that emerges from this Megillas Tainis conversation is that Rav Shapti used to always quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that the Yisur Bor Halacha B'fnei Rabbah B'zman Hazeh is to pass on Halacha without looking in a Sefer. That today Rov Chachma that a person has comes from looking at Svarim, and therefore the Svarim have a din of a Rebbe, so you're not allowed to be Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbah. A person, when they're asked a Shaila, has to look in his Sefer. And that's the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim writes in Seder Shoal Vinishal Hashlishi Os Aleph. He says that someone who paskins should not be embarrassed from people making fun of him that he's not able to answer right away and that he has to be ma'ayin and svarim. He says much better to spend some time be ma'ayin and svarim, think about it. And if a person doesn't do that, he says it's a violation of Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbah that the svarim are a rebbeim. And that's what the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov also says, that he was writing a tshuva to a rabbi who had paskined an animal to be a treifa. Right away the animal was brought to him and he right away said it's a treifa, and he said, you did the wrong thing. What do you mean right away? You never paskin right away. Torachas al manam shal Yisrael, you try to come up with whatever heti you can before you just throw away an entire animal, before you say that a Jew can't have the animals. Asur lahoros b'makom rabo, and that includes not looking in Sfarim and not spending the proper amount of time that you need to in contemplating the Shaila. Now in Orach HaShulchan in Reish Mem Beis in Yardei and Seflamet Hei, he says that there are those that say that it's also Lahoros Makom Rabo, and similar, that just like it's also Lahoros Makom Rabo, it's also Lahoros Beli Iun Besvarim, he says, because they are our Rebbeim, he says Elu Dvarim Shein Bem Tam. He says that's not true. We lo reinu l'rabban kashishai sha'asu kein. We don't find the previous generation of Rabbanim that they dafka looked in Svarim. It's only a din Makom Rabo because Bizayon of the Rebbe. And what kind of Bizayon if you don't look in Svarim? There's no Bizayon. There's no one that feels the embarrassment. So this is a nafkamina between the timing, right? If it's only because of Bizayon of the Rebbe, so then Echinami, the Aruch HaShulchan is right. But if you have this, like the Gemara says in Ksuvis, that it's Lomas Tayeh Milsa, that you're not going to get the Siyata Deshmaya unless you take the time and the patience and you show the respect to those who are greater, meaning it's not about Beinotim L'Chaveru to the Rebbe, it's about Beinotim L'Atzmo, about the level of respect you show for the Masorah, so then maybe it would apply even for Svarim as well. It could also be that all the posts that said it's a violation of Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbah may not have meant it in the technical sense. They just may have meant that it's very ill-advised, that it's not a smart idea to go around passing halachos without properly researching the halachos. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. Second line from the top on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Ravina Sar Sakina B'Bavel. Ravina would check a knife, a shechita knife, for any nicks in Bavel. Amalei Ravashi, my time of Marhachi, how could you do this? Your Rebbe's around. Amalei Rav Nuna Ori Bechar Sadargas, Bishneid Rav Chisli said, well, Rav Nuna would pass him in Char Sadargas when Rav Chisli was still around. Amalei Lav Ori Itmar. So I said, didn't we say that Lav Ori Itmar, that you're not allowed to pass him. He would not pass him. Amalei Itmar Ori Itmar Lo Ori. Bishneid Rav Nuna Rabbe Huda Lo Ori. Vori Bishneid Rav Chisli, the Talmud Chavar Dilei Hava. He says, well, we have two traditions, one that he would paskin, one that he wouldn't paskin, and the answer is, when his Rebbe Mufak was alive, he would not paskin. When his Rebbe, who he then became a Talmud Chaver of, was alive, then he would paskin. And I have news for you, I'm a Talmud Chaver of yours, so therefore, I'm allowed to check the Shechita knife, because I'm a Talmud Chaver, I'm not a pure Talmud. What is a Talmud Chaver? The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah says, anyone that you didn't learn Rov Chachmaso from that Rebbe, it's a din of a Talmud Chaver, Yinachayv Bekvodo, you just have to stand up for him and Lekroa Alav, but you don't have all the full dinim of Kavod that one would have for a Rebbe. So as long as you didn't learn Rov Chachmaso from him, so it sounds from the Rambam, even though he's much greater than you, it doesn't make a difference if you didn't learn Rov Chachmaso from him. However, the Rashbam in Babasha, Kufnul Chesam Beis, and the Ma'arik in the Chuvan Shorosh Kuf Samach Tes says that a Talmud Chaver means that initially you learned by this Rebbe and you were a Talmud, but then you grew up and you became just as strong as him in learning. So that's so it's Karov L'Chachmaso Shel Rabbo. You became pretty close in learning to the Rebbe. So then you have a din of a Talmud Chaver. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim, exactly how to define the term Talmud Chaver. The Ramah in Yoredeya points out that according to the Marik, a Talmud Mufak is not only someone who learns Rov Chachmaso from his Rebbe, it must be anyone who learns anything from his Rebbe. Because otherwise, how could it be that Marik will say that on the Talmud, he has to take Rishus from all of his Rebbeim HaMufakim, the Marik writes. He has to get Rishus from all of his Rebbeim HaMufakim. If the Rambam is correct that a Talmud Mufak means that you learned Rov of your Chachma from your Rebbe, well, there can only be one Rebbe that you learn Rov Chachmaso from. So how? What does it mean that you get Rishus from all of Rabosav HaMufakim? There is only one Rav HaMufak. So that would be impossible. So a Talmud Stam is someone that you learned a little bit from until then you grew up and became almost as great as him. The Shach, however, says that even the Marik would be moded to the Rambam, that if you didn't learn Rov Chachmaso, you're not called the Talmud Mufak. He just adds an extra kula that even if you did learn Rov Chachmaso, so you can still grow up to be a Talmud Chaver of his if you then one day grow up to become his equal. Amar Rava, Tzumir Rabbanon Chazil Nafshei. Tzumir Rabbanon is allowed to check his own Shechita knife before Shechting. Ravina Yikul Machuza Aisyush Beschini Sakina V'Kamachvile. Ravina went to Machuza and his host brought him the knife and showed it to him to check. Amalei Zil Amti El Rava, he said, go show it to Rava. Amalei Losav Lamar Hadam Rava Tzumir Rabbanon Chazil Nafshei. He said, well, why would you do that? Why would you show this extra respect? Don't you know that a Tzumir Rabbanon is allowed to see for himself, and this is for your own food, for your own meat, you're allowed to check your Shechita knife? It's not just derech kavod that they're showing it to you, which, by the way, is still the tradition when a rav walks into a shechita house that they show him the shechita knife. That was the derech kavod to the rabbanim. But this is for your own food. So amalei anam mizben zvina. So he says that this is I'm buying the food. I'm not. It's not food that I already own. And when I'm buying it, it's considered like it's for somebody else. Rav Lozmi Agroni of Rav Abba Bar Techlifa Klo Lebei Rav Acha Breid Ravika Baasrei Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. They went to the house of Rav Acha Breid Ravika in the town of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. By Rav Acha Breid Ravika lemevelu iglatilsa. Rav Acha Breid Ravika, who was the host, wanted to make a delicious cut of meat for them, an iglatilsa. I see sakin v'kamach vilu. So he brought the knife and showed it to them. Amrulu Rav Acha Bar Techlifa lelechus le lesaba. So he said, aren't we worried about the saba, about the elder that's here, about Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who deserves the kavod? Amrulu Rav Lozmi Agronia hachi amaravat tzumer rabban chazil nafshei. He said, no, but the rabbi is allowed to paskin for himself, for his own shechita. Chazi v'yanesh Rav Lozer me'agronia. So he looked at the knife, he checked it, and he got punished for it. Why did he get punished? We just said that you're allowed to do that. That you're allowed to be chazi l'nafshei. So shiny hasan dischilu b'kvodo. Now, once they already made mention of the covet of the gadol, and they already started to show covet to the gadol, then to check at that point, that's already bizayin to undo that covet. V'yibayseima shiny ravach bar Yaakov de muflag. Or it could be a different reason that he was punished was that ravach bar Yaakov wasn't just stam a gadol. He wasn't just stam a rebbe. He was muflag. He was very much older. He was a much bigger Talmud Chacham. It wasn't a close race. Amar Rav Lafrusha Meisura Afil Befanav Shapir Dami. Rav says that when it comes to being mafresh someone from an iser, if you're in front of your Rebbe and you see someone is about to violate an Avera, so you're allowed to be Mor Alecha Befnei Rabo to stop the person from violating the Avera. It's probably a Lo Samar Al Dam Re'echa, that there's an iser to watch if someone is about to dig a hole for himself. So you have to stop him from doing the Avera. Ravina v'yasav kameda Ravashi chazilu gavra to ka'asle l'chamre b'tzintzu b'shabata. Ravina was in front of Ravashi and he saw a guy that was tying up his donkey on a tree on Shabbos. Ram be'kolav lo ashkech be, so he started yelling and the guy didn't listen. He didn't do anything. Amle lave I gavra b'shamta. So he couldn't stop. So he said, you should be in a cherem. He yells to the guy. Amle ki I gavra mimus chazak kafkarus. And then afterwards he turns to his Rebbe and he says, is that wrong what I just did? Is that look like the Zayin to the Rebbe that I was more alach b'fnei Rabbo to put someone in chayrim in front of you. Amalei, so he said back to him, Ein chacham v'ein tvuna v'ein etzel neged Hashem kol nachem sheish b'chul Hashem in cholkum kavod l'rav. One of the exceptions of the requirement to show kavod to a Rebbe is when it's going to be a chul Hashem, when someone's going to violate the Ratzon Hashem. So you have to stop a person from violating the Ratzon Hashem. There's an interesting discussion. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Taf Lamed Aleph and Beis tells us that Shmuel was more alach b'fnei Rabbo because Eli said to Chana and to Elkanah that they should find a Kohen that will come and shecht the par that they brought, and Shmuel saw that they were looking for a Kohen to shecht the par. So he says, what are you looking for a Kohen? Don't you know, Shechita Ksher B'Zar, Zar is allowed to shecht also, you don't need a Kohen to shecht. So and he quoted the Pasuk, V'shachros ben abakal v'nei Hashem v'krivu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim es Adam v'zorkos Adam al Mizbech. So you see, by the Shechita doesn't mention b'nei Aaron HaKohanim, it's only later on from the Kabbalah and the Zrika that we say b'nei Aaron HaKohanim. So Eli said to Shmuel, what you said is correct, you're right, Shechitas Ksher Bizar, but you're more Alach B'fnei Rabbo and you're Chayiv Misa. So then Chana had to beg, please, this is the child that I daven for, I don't want you to kill him, you know, I waited so long for this child, but he passed that he's a more Alach B'fnei Rabbo. So all the Achronim asked the Kasha, what do you mean? Our Gemara says that if you're Lafrisho Me'isura, is Shaper Dami, if you're stopping someone from doing an Isser, it's okay. And they were stopping, he was stopping them from doing an Isser. What Isser was he stopping? If they were looking dafka for a Kohen, it means that they held this was an Avoda, and they held that the Kohen would have to wear Big Day Kuna for this. But for a Kohen to wear Big Day Kuna, Shalom B'Shas Avoda is an Isser. So it's not an Avoda, and it's therefore that does not require a Kohen, and any Big Day Kuna that a Kohen puts on is going to be in violation of an Isser. So Shmuel was coming to him, Mafresh Me'isura. So that's the kasha that all of the Achronim ask. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Hei says that even though Shmuel needed to give this psak so that they don't make a mistake in the halacha, but the way he did it, the lama l'chala adure, what are you bothering looking? He could have said it in a more respectful way, and even when you need to be more halacha b'fnei Rabbo, you have to do it in a more respectful way. The Chassam Sofer says that no, why does the Gemara say the Chana and Elkana were mahadri basar kohen l'mishchat? They were looking for a kohen to shecht. What do you mean? They were in the base of Migdash. There should have been no shortage of Kohanim. What were they looking for? So he explains that probably they were looking for someone who was already doing the Avodah and was already wearing Big Day Kuna, because they thought it was at least a Shaila that someone shouldn't have to put on Big Day Kuna to be Mamshich, to wear the Big Day Kuna while they're still working and to do another Shechita. That would not be an Issa. So there was no Afrushe Meisura. Other Achronim suggest that it was more Alach B'fnei Rabbo because he could have, they hadn't started the Avodah yet. He could have gone over to Eli and said, and asked it b'derech she'ela, isn't there a halacha that shechita ksher b'zar? And then Eli would have realized on his own that he had made a mistake instead of just telling them what are you going and looking for a kohen dafka to do this voda. So the other kash over here in this story is that Ramabe kalav l'ashkech bay, and then he says he puts him b'shamta, and then he says was that mechzik hafkarusa? After he does it, he then says what I just did, was that wrong? Wouldn't it be better to ask the shaila before you act? Why does he only ask the Shaila afterwards? So Rabbeinu Yohanan suggests that Ravina asked Ravashi, his Rebbe, if that which he made a machab, b'fnei harav, is mutter or not. That wasn't to know if he did the right thing. He knew that it's mutter in that situation in front of Ravashi because he was a Talmud Chaver of Ravashi. He was saying, what I just did, I know I was allowed to do that, but what if you were my Rebbe Mufak? I wasn't a Talmud Chaver. Would it be mutter? That kind of situation. He just started talking and learning. In this kind of situation, if a real Rebbe Mufak was there, would that be mutter to do? Others suggest that in the Yalkov Yurimov here, he quotes from the Parashas Mordechai, who suggests that it wasn't that it wasn't Ravina that asked. Ravina knew it was mutter. It was the guy who was just put in chayrim who said, "Yeah, you authorized to do that. You authorized to put me in chayrim. You're passing me in front of your rabbi." So he said, "No. He was authorized to do it. You're taking in chayrim." So Amar Rava, b'fan of us v'chayiv misa shalob b'fan of us v'ein chayiv misa. So Rava distinguishes between being mora b'fan of and mora shalob b'fan of. When you're mora b'fan of, it's us in chayiv misa. When it's shalob b'fan of, it's aser. It's not directly in front of the rabbi. It's aser, but there's no chayiv misa. V'shalob b'fan of lo. So when it's not b'fan of, you're not chayiv misa. V'atayin rablazram lo mesu b'nei Aaron hachor alacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. Isn't that why b'nei Aaron died? Because they were mora alacha b'fnei Moshe. So my drosh, what drosha did they make? Amru, they said, that even though the fire comes down from Shemayim, it's a mitzvah to bring a fire, min ahedyo, to bring our own fire. And that was their hora'a. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim where they write about the halacha, meaning they were mara halacha pnei rab. Did they at least get the halacha right? It's interesting, based on the Gemara and Ksuvis, that lo estayei milsa, it's not only because of chutzpah, it's because you're not going to get it right when you're passing in front of your Rebbe. So the implication is that the classic examples of Mora Alech Pnei Rabbo should be examples where they got it wrong. So Rashi in Yuma, Dafnim Gimel Amaral, says that the Bnei Aaron paskin correctly over here, that Yitaka do need to bring an Eish min ahedyot, but they weren't Notel Rishos. It was for the chutzpah of not being Notel Rishos for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ravid is quoted by many Rishonim, and the Ritva and Yuma Nun Gimel say that no, they made a mistake. When it says that you have to bring an Eish min ahedyot, that's Legabi the Mizbeach HaChitzon, but Haktaris Ktaris on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that you don't bring min ahedyot. That comes from the Eish Ma'aracha, from the second Ma'aracha that was on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and they would bring from that fire, from the second pile of wood. And the Gemara in Yuma says that explicitly, and they made a mistake by equating the Mizbeach HaPnimi to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So it was a mistake by not consulting Moshe Rabbeinu. The Talmud Rechel HaHilo, the Rabbi Lazar Shora Alacha B'fanav, Rabbi Lazar had a certain Talmud that would paskin, that paskined in front of him. Amar Rabbi Lazar Lima Shalom Ishto, to me ani im yotzi zashnosav, below Hotzi Shnaso. So he remarked to his wife, I wonder what's going to be if this guy's going to make it through the year, and he taka was lo Hotzi Shnaso. He didn't make it through the year. So Amra lo Naviata. So he said, wow, you're a Navi. You were able to, his wife said, unbelievable, look who I'm married to. He was able to predict that this guy would die, and he died. So Amra lo Navi Anochi v'lo Ben Navi Anochi. Elakach mekublani kol amar alach b'fnei rabo chayev misa. He says, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Ben Navi, but this is the Kabbalah that I have, that anyone who's Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo is Chayiv Misa, and this person was Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo. So Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichos Musar in Maimel Amir Hei in Tafshan Lamed Beis asks, why is Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo so severe that you're Chayiv Misa, your mamish Chayiv Misa? And furthermore, this Misa, such a strange Misa, you knew that he's Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo by passing in front of you, so be Mochalim, you know he's going to die. I mean, your mamish going to let the guy die like that? Why would you let that happen? Just remark, oh, he's not going to live out this year. So be mochlan and let him live out the year. So what's going on over here? The Gemara in Shabbos says that if someone gets punished because something they did to me and I wasn't mochel, so I'm not going to be nichnas b'mechitzas shel kadosh baruch hu. So he should have been mochel. So he says the chumra over here is not stam because of the covet of the rav. The reason mora halacha b'fnei rabo is the breakdown in the mesorah of klal Yisrael, that a person has to always have the respect of the previous generations and of the Rabbanim, and appreciate that the Masorah comes back from Har Sinai. And once we break that that down. So it's a breakdown in the entire infrastructure of the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. And so it's not something the Rebbe can be mochel. I could be mochel, a Rebbe could be mochel his own personal kavod. That he could always be mochel. Rav shemochel al kavodo, kavodo mochel. Torah dilehu, it's his Torah to be mochel. But mora halacha b'fnei rabo is not about his kavod. It's about the entire hierarchy of an infrastructure of the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that a person doesn't have the ability to be mochel, so he just knew that this guy wasn't going to make it. He wasn't going to be able to live out his year. The kasha by Shmuel, the Tosfos and Masechus Brachos asks, is that Shmuel hadn't learned anything from Eli yet. So why was that considered Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabo? He had just showed up. So how is that Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabo? So Tosfos says Eli was the Gadol Adar, and he was Bal Lilmod L'Fanav. So it's a discussion in the Achronim. Is Tosfos giving two answers or one answer? Chumash Sadashin understands that it's two answers. And number one, the Gadol Adar, even if he never learned anything from him, if he's the Gadol Adar, so there's an Isra Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabo. And number two, you were going to his yeshiva to learn. So even if you haven't yet learned anything from him, but you were going there to learn from him, you were about to learn from him, so that alone is a violation of Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabo. But in general, the importance of Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabo is the importance of having a Rebbe in the first place, of having some sort of Mesorah, and not to make decisions, all of life's decisions, on one's own. Also Talmud Yehuda ben Gurya Shemal, this guy who didn't live out the year, his name was Yehuda ben Goria, and he happened to have been three parsaos away at the time. So this is the question. I mean, the Gemara, it was a long question. The Gemara said that shalom b'fanav you're not chayiv misa. So the Gemara said, what do you mean shalom b'fanav you're not chayiv misa? Here's this story. This guy was three parsaos away. He was shalom b'fanav, and you see that he was chayiv misa. He didn't live out the year. So that's where the question mark goes after 10 lines. So says Gemara, b'fan of Hava. No, he was right in front of him. So how could you say he was in front of him? It said in the story he was three parcels away. How can you say that he was b'fan of? He says, well, why do you think we mentioned the guy's name and the name of his father? So that you shouldn't say that it's only a mashal, that the whole thing is an allegory. That's why we mention as many details as possible. That's similar to the machlokas you have in the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra about Sefer Iyov. Was Iyov a mashal? One daya is that Iyov was only a mashal, and the other daya says, well, why does it give so many details? If it was only a mashal, it shouldn't give all these details. The details are there to tell you that it's not a mashal. So similarly, when he tells a story, so the other daya would probably respond, yeah, because that's how you tell a story. When you tell a story and you want it to be a good story, you have to include all the details. You include names and places, and that's how you make up a good story. So but anyway, the Gemara is saying that like that daya, that Iyov was not a mashal haraya from all the details over here. Also, it's just to tell you that it's not a mashal. Rabbi Avram ben Arambam writes in his Maimer on Drashos of Chazal that you see from our sugya that a lot of times what Chazal say is a mashal. A lot of the stories of Chazal say are not to be taken literally; that they're meant to be a mashal. Maral also writes in Baragola that because it's the derech hacham to speak in mashalim when they speak about things that are beyond us. A person should always be cognizant of that and not be matmiya and divrei chazal, that it sounds like something foolish, the stories they tell, or it sounds like something that's rachok min hadas. A lot of times they're couching very important messages, they're hiding it in these fantastic stories, in these wild stories, in certain cases where it's definitely not a mashal. So the Gemara will tell us it's definitely not a mashal over here. Amr b'chir barabo, Amr b'yachon, kol amor alach b'fnei rabo, roi lakish o nachash. Anyone who's amor alach b'fnei rabo deserves to be bitten by a snake. Shneamar v'yane liu ben brach labuzi v'yomer tzair ani liyamim al kein zachalti uksiv am chamas zochalei offer. That zachalti is a lashon zochalei offer of a snake. Ziri Amar Bichanina Nikra Chote, says that he's called a Chote. Shnemar Blibi Tzafanti Imrasecha Laman Lo Echtalach, so that I don't come to sin to you. Rav Amnunar, I mean, that's why Blibi Tzafanti Imrasecha, I kept it in my heart, I didn't go and say it. Rav Amnunar Rami, Rav Amnunar just asked the Stira, Ksiva, it says on the one hand, Blibi Tzafanti Imrasecha, that I hid your sayings in my heart. Uksiv Basarti Tzedek Bekal Rav, that I told it Bekal Rav in public. So Lo Kasha, Kan Bizman Shi Irahi Iri Kayam, Kan time does man she'ein ira hayi iri kayim. It depends if ira hayi iri was alive or not. When he was alive, so he kept it quiet. When ira hayi iri was not alive, so then David HaMelech would not keep it quiet. He would say it out. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Ziv, Zokal Anosim Manos of the Kohen Echad, Mevi Ra of Liolam. Anyone who gives all of his Matnos Kuna to one Kohen is going to bring famine into the world. Shnemar Ira Iri Hayu Kohen Le David, because it says Ira Iri was a Kohen for David. Well, Le David Udava Kohen Le Kuli Al Melo, was he only a Kohen for David and not a Kohen for the rest of the world? Elishayu Meshagal Matnosav. Must be that David gave him all of his Matnos Kuna. That's why he was called the Kohen Le David. And what does it say right afterwards? Uksiv Basrei, Vayihi Ra of Bimei David, that there was a famine in the days of David. So you see from there that giving all your matnos kuna to one person is not a good idea. So Tosfos in Maseches Kiddushin writes that's why Rabbi Gamliel would give his Maaser Rishon to Rabbi Yeshua that it was a Levi, and he didn't give him also the Maaser Ani, even though Rabbi Yeshua was also an Ani, because he wanted to spread the wealth as much as possible. That just like it says in our Gemara that giving all your matnos kuna to one Kohen is maybe Rav Liolam. So too, giving all of your tzedakah that you have to give to one ani is also not a good idea. It's maybe Rav Liolam, and that's Paskin Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tzedakah and Reishon and Zayin, that a person should not give all of his tzedakah to one ani. Shouldn't earmark everything to one person. You should spread the wealth in terms of the tzedakah. This is the famous comment of the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, where it says Hakol Lefi Rov Hamaaseh. The Rambam says we dafka emphasize Hakol Lefi Rov Hamaaseh, not Hakol Lefi Godel Hamaaseh. A person has $100, so he has two options. He has many options. One of the options is to give all $100 to one person for tzedakah. The other option is to give $1 to 100 different people. So says the Rambam, Hakol Lefi Rov Hamaaseh. Do as many different actions as you can. Give $1 to 100 different people, much better than Godel Hamaaseh, than a high impact single Maaseh. We look at quantity over quality. This is one of the examples Rav Yosef Engel quotes in his piece. He has a long discussion about what we favor in mitzvahs. Do we favor quantity or do we favor quality? And he says that from this Rambam, he has 10 rayas one way, 10 rayas the other way, but this is one of his rayas. From the Rambam, it sounds like we favor quantity over quality. Now, it's not necessarily a raya to all other areas of halacha. The Chavetz Chaim al Torah explains that the reason why it's better to give 100 times to different people is because you get in the habit of defeating your Yetzer Hara by doing the action after. It's not about the Ben Adam L'Chavero, meaning in a Chinami, maybe Ben Adam L'Chavero, it's a much greater impact to give $100 to one person, and you'll do better by that guy than you will have done with giving a dollar to 100 different people. But Ben Adam L'Atzmo, in terms of learning how to overcome your Yetzer Hara, it's much better for the person to go, and it also makes it second nature to give. So he's more likely to give again in the future. If he does many acts of tzedakah, so that could be why the emphasis. Maybe particularly with the mitzvah of tzedakah, the Gemara Bava Basra tells us that Rabbi Kiva told in the Srofus HaRasha that when it comes to giving tzedakah, the aniyim don't really need our tzedakah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mefarnes aniyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the ani will get what he's going to get. Hashem already decided what he's going to get. When we give tzedakah, we do it for ourselves because we need to be the nosin that the bracha will come through us. That's a great zuchus for us that we have the opportunity to give it. It's not that the ani needs us, it's that we need the ability to give tzedakah. So maybe that's why the emphasis has been a little better to give many times rather than to make the impact on the ani's life. Anyway, that a person is taken away from his godless if he's mar alach b'fnei rabo. Shenemar v'yomer Elazar HaKohen el Anshei HaTzava. Elazar spoke to the Anshei HaTzava. Av gav damalu l'achi abo tziva v'osi lo tziva afilu achi yanish. So even though when he was teaching the soldiers, he clearly gave credit to Moshe Rabbeinu, he still got punished. Because we find that Yoshua never actually needed to consult with him, even though that was supposed to be his job. Amar of Levi called the most of Mila Kamei Rabbe Azul L'Sha'ol B'lo Vlad. Someone who is passing his Allah in front of his Rabbi is going to go to the grave without any children. Shnemar Vayan Yoshua Benun Masharis Moshe Mibachuru Vayomer Adoni Moshe Kla'em. That he said Yoshua told Moshe Rabbeinu when Eldad Medad were being misnaveh that Moshe wouldn't be able to lead Kal Yisrael, and Teretz Yisrael. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, come on, you got to wipe them out. You can't let this go on. This what they're saying about you. He was so distraught. He was trying to protect the covenant of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Uksiv Nun Beno Yoshua Beno. It sounds like that was the end of the line, that he went to the grave childless. So even in the situation where he was trying to defend the covenant of his Rebbe, which again highlights the idea, like the Gemara in Ksuva says, that being Marilach Pnei Rabbeinu is not only about the kavod of the Rebbe. It's more than just about the kavod of the Rebbe. Over here, he's trying to defend the kavod. Upligat Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, but this is against Rabbi Abba Bar Papa. The Rama Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, lo nenesh Yeshua el b'shvil shabitol l'Yisrael laila achas mpir v'rivya, that Yeshua was punished not because he was mar alach b'nei Rabbo, but that he was mevatel kal Yisrael from puravush. Nemar v'ibay also Yeshua b'Yericho v'yisein avayar. Yeshua was by Yericho right before the siege of Yericho, and he looks and he sees this man that looks like a soldier. And the soldier says, I'm a Sartzva Hashem, and I've come now. The soldier says, you did two things wrong. You mevatel the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim, and you mevatel Talmud Torah. So Yeshua says, Alezman Basa, so which one are you here to criticize me for, to punish me for? Amalo Atabasi, what you did right now is worse, being mevatel Talmud Torah. Miyad vayelech Yeshua b'layla hu b'toch ha'emek. So right away Yeshua goes into the Emek, which means he delved into the depths of halacha. And we also learn another lesson that we learn from this story of Yeshua, that calls man that the Arun and the Shechina are not in their proper place. The Arun is out on the battlefield, so it's also for people to have tashma shamita. So Amr Rabbi Shmuel bar Inni Meshmei Derav Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Yakravis Tmidin Damalei Atabasi. So you see that Talmud Torah is more important. This counts as Dafyomi coincidence as we lead up to the Yom Tov Shavuos, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. We're waiting within a week of Shavuos, that Talmud Torah is so great that it's even more important than the Karban Tamid. That the Malach says you did two things wrong, and what I'm here for is the worst of the two things, which is being Mevatel Torah. Amar Abron Amrav, Kal Yashem Bikila Sheish V'Ishto Shruin Ba Alav HaKazom Neshei Ami Tegrushu Mibes Tanugeha. Once we mention the idea that when the Aron is out, people are Asr B'Tashma Shamita, and Yeshua was blamed for that too, for keeping husbands and wives apart from each other for that extra night. So he mentioned this halacha, that anyone who sleeps in a room where a husband and wife are sleeping together, so it's as if he's keeping a wife away from her enjoyment, meaning he's stopping them from Tashma Shamita, because it's Asr B'Mishamish Mitasa when someone else is in the room. So Vam Rav Yosef Filu B'Ishto Nida. Rav Yosef says, even if it's Ishto Nida that's in the room, still it's inappropriate to sleep in a room where a husband and wife are sleeping, even if there's nothing going to be going on anyway. Rava Amar Mishto Nida he tavel of bracha. Rava says, what do you mean? If it's Ishto Nida, Adraba, you're doing a wonderful thing. You're saving them from any potential issue that they won't have any Yetzer Hara to violate Nisr Nida. So Velohi, Dada in the Manatre. He says, no, that's not true. Even with Ishto Nida, it's still inappropriate. They don't need you to save them. Kesuga B'Shoshanim, that's one of the great things about Klal Yisrael, that even just something like a hedge of roses, a woman says, like the Gemara Sanhedrin says, a woman says that I see a little Tipastam Kechardal, and right away the husband is going to be parished from her. That's the godless of Klal Yisrael, that we could be trusted, that there's no Isur Yichud with Ishto Nida, that they could be trusted with the Isur Yichud. Now, in just a word or two on Talmud Torah relating to the story of Yeshua. So when they were being Osik in Kivash Aretz, after they were Kovish Yericho, when they were waiting to be Kovish Ai, the Malachi was after the Kivash of Yericho. It was right before when they were waiting to be Kovish Ai. So the Malach comes and is Mochiach Yeshua for being Vatal Talmud Torah, and it says that he spent the whole night Petoch Omka Shal Alacha. So in the Sefer Torah Schayim, he says, what do you mean, Yeshua wasn't learning at all during Melchamas Yericho? He says, of course he was learning, because it's also lo the Talmud Chacham Alacha Safilu Dalar Amos below Torah. Talmud Chacham doesn't even walk 4 Amos without Torah. No, but what kind of things was he learning? It was just Havar B'Alma. He was just reading things quickly, but he wasn't really being Ma'ayin and Shmaita Bayit Selusa, because he didn't have the presence of mind to really learn in depth. So on that the Malach came to criticize him for his Bittul Torah, not that he wasn't learning, for his Bittul Torah, not Bekamus, not in how we were talking about Kamus and Echus and Mitzvos. What about in Torah? So his Bittul Torah, not in the amount that he was learning, but in the Echus of his Talmud Torah, in the quality of his Talmud Torah. I always thought that's why the Rambam says that a person has to get a lot of sleep, because I always thought that why does a person need to get a lot of sleep? That if you're going to learn a lot of Torah, Be'echus, not Bekamus, a person could learn Bekamus accomplish 22 hours, 20 hours a day, sleep 4 hours a night, and he'll still be able to learn a lot. And some will go in. But if a person's going to be amel in Torah, if a person's really going to put his full concentration in something, so it takes something out of you. You're exhausted when you really put your full concentration into things. All the studies show this, that when people are fully engaged and they're really, really, their minds are fully engaged with something, it's exhausting. People who practice at things that they're real experts on, they can't do it for more than 3-4 hours a day. Obviously, Talmud Torah, we should do it for more than 3-4 hours a day. But there is this concept of eichlus in Talmud Torah. And this is the yisod that comes up all over the place in the Beis Ephraim, in the Tshuva, in Beis Ephraim. He says, that's what the Gemara Megillah says, Mevatel Talmud Torah, the Tzor Kriyas HaMegillah. He says, what do you mean, Mevatel Talmud Torah, Kriyas HaMegillah? Isn't Megillah itself part of Torah? So what do you mean? When you hear Megillah, that's Talmud Torah. So what does it mean that we're Mevatel Talmud Torah, the Tzor Kriyas HaMegillah? So he says, you see, that's the point. That yes, Kriyas HaMegillah is Torah, but it's a story that we're familiar with and we're just hearing Pesukim. So Mevatel Talmud Torah be'echlus for the sake of Kriyas HaMegillah, which is Torah be'kamlus, but it may not be always be'echlus. That's Rav Dasser quotes from Rav Chaim in Sanhedrin of Tzaditah. It says, Zvar Hashem Biza, that it's Efshalo Lasuk B'Torah Ve'eno Osek, is someone who's called being Mevaza Hashem. It's not just Efshalo Lilmud V'lo Laman, it's Efshalo Lasuk V'lo Osek. A person has the ability to really delve into Torah, and he doesn't, that's called being Mevaza. That's called being Mevaza Dvar Hashem. Of course, sometimes in order to accomplish Eichlus, we need to have Kamus first. We need to have an idea of what it says in Shas in order to be able to analyze things properly. Okay, we'll stop there, Hashem. Tomorrow we'll get back to Erev and topics like Gut and Chodesh. Yeah.